From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, we'll hear about a Dallas father's search to understand his son's autism. We'll begin, though, with the controversial plastic bag fee in Dallas. The city council today will debate whether or not to impose an outright ban on disposable shopping bags. The council will look at three options: keep the current bag fee, repeal the ordinance entirely, or ban the use of disposable bags entirely. Dallas Councilmember Dwayne Carraway championed the effort to get rid of disposable bags.
We have a responsibility to do the very best that we can do to make sure that we're the cleanest city in the United States of America, and most importantly, that we are free and environmentally safe.
But there's been opposition. Last month, a group of bag manufacturers sued the city over the current 5-cent fee, which was approved last year. If the city council approves the full ban, it would join other Texas cities like Austin and Laredo. We'll turn now to our ongoing Breakthrough series. Today, we'll explore autism. John Rodakis was not looking to launch an investigation, but that's what happened 3 years ago after his son's autism symptoms changed while taking an antibiotic for strep throat. Today and tonight, Lauren Silverman reports on three clues that led Rodakis to question traditional autism research. A note, we've agreed to change the boy's name to protect his privacy.
Matt could read before he could speak.
I had suspected this when we would read stories and he would turn the pages, but I had just assumed he just knows when it's time to turn the page.
John Rodakis is Matt's dad. He's 46, and he spent much of his career as a medical venture capitalist. And as you'll see, Rodakis loves to run experiments.
We actually ended up doing this little experiment where we got this like Etch-a-Sketch board. My wife wrote the word run, R-U-N, and held it up and showed it to him, and he ran around the couch.
Run! Run, bear!
And then she wrote the word dance, and he would do a dance.
In a home video, Matt is giggling and running around, a white diaper sticking out of the top of his green striped pajamas. At age 2, Matt had this extraordinary ability to read without training. It's called hyperlexia, and usually it's associated with autism.
But at the time, our son was happy, he was engaged, he was loving. And so we thought, well, maybe he's just one of those super rare hyperlexics that's not also autistic.
Not long after, Rodakis and his wife, Christy, noticed a serious change.
Within the course of a month, he basically stopped making eye contact. He became quite rigid, meaning sort of an insistence on sameness. And when things didn't go the way he wanted, you know, he would throw fits and temper tantrums.
Matt, who's now 5, was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. 1 in 68 children has it. Symptoms vary greatly among kids. Classic features are impaired communication, poor social engagement, and repetitive behavior. Now, before we go on with the story, a warning. Autism is one of the most divisive medical conditions there is. It separates scientists from scientists and parents from parents because after decades of research, we still don't know what causes it. And when you don't know the cause of a disorder, you don't know how to treat it. You don't know how to help kids like Matt. As he plants some vegetables in the backyard one afternoon, Matt gets distracted by the image on the back of a seed packet. It's a drawing of the United States.
What's that state?
Montana.
And that one?
California.
And this one?
Maine.
He's an adorable 5-year-old. And he's different. He's already a math whiz and can recite state capitals with ease. There are also bouts of screaming and crying impossible to soothe. He has trouble socializing or breaking routine. Even the idea of me sitting down with him at lunch is upsetting.
Can I sit with you?
No.
No? Can I stand?
No. No.
So what's behind behaviors like this? We don't know. Dr. Wendy Chung says that's why autism theories have flourished.
So there's been many waves of popular thinking about what's caused autism, everything from problems or bad parenting to vaccines to, you know, a shift in terms of thinking that it's genes playing a large role.
Chung directs clinical research at one of the country's major autism research programs, the Simons Foundation in New York. The conventional view of autism is that it's mostly a genetic disorder. It's something kids inherit and are born with. Their brains are hardwired differently. Rodakis and his wife accepted that idea, and they did what most parents do: therapy. Speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. Matt had dozens of hours each week. Then they started to question the conventional view of autism. They began to notice their son's symptoms changed depending on environmental factors, like what he ate, what medicines he took. Really, there were three clues that led Rodakis to believe his son could get better. Clues that parents and researchers are trying to explain. Clue number one, the fever effect.
We observed that when our son would have a fever, we would notice these kind of transient improvements in his speech and his mood and in his eye contact. And it was noticeable enough that I went to the medical literature to see if there was anything about this, and sure enough, there was.
Now, most parents don't spend their free time studying publications like The Lancet or the New England Journal of Medicine. John Rodakis is not most parents. He's trained as a molecular biologist and wedded to his hardcore scientific roots. In the living room of his Dallas home, Rodakis flips open a binder filled with the latest publications on autism research. He's driven by data, and he keeps track of his son obsessively.
I track all of his features, his rigidity, how agreeable he is, his happiness, his energy level, his spaciness. And what I then do is I export all of this out to Excel, and I create basically charts and graphs.
So, how far back does this go?
I don't even know, like pretty much since his diagnosis.
Which brings us back to that first clue. When Matt was 2.5, this is after his parents suspected he was autistic, he came down with a mild fever. What's strange is that instead of being more lethargic, he was more agreeable, more talkative, and attentive than usual. Curious, Rodakis reached out to an expert, a pediatric neurologist named Andrew Zimmerman. This is a guy who's cared for thousands of autistic patients, published more than 70 peer-reviewed papers, and served as director of medical research at the Kennedy Krieger Institute in Baltimore. Zimmerman has a name for this change in behavior among kids with autism. He calls it the fever effect.
If you ask people coming into an autism clinic if they've ever seen this, about 20 to 30% of families will spontaneously tell you that.
Enough parents told Zimmerman about this fever effect that in 2007, his team evaluated 30 kids with autism from age 2 to 18 during and after a fever. And the results? Fewer autistic-like behaviors for those kids with fever compared to controls. This was compelling, but it was a small study, and no one was about to go around advocating giving kids with autism fevers. So Zimmerman and colleagues at Johns Hopkins planned a follow-up without the high temperature. They isolated a molecule that mimics the fever effect. It's called sulforaphane, and it's in vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Using that molecule, they did a double-blind study.
We found that, in fact, sulforaphane improved 2/3 of the young men who received the drug compared to those on placebos.
So how might a fever and a molecule found in broccoli reduce autism symptoms? Here's how Zimmerman explains it. Along with the bad stuff, fever causes cells to produce more energy, to be more active. He thinks that might help troubled cells ramp up production and work properly. There's a big idea here, the idea that there are ways to improve autism symptoms without altering genes. For Dad John Rodakis, the fever study provided hope. But it took two more clues to convince him. It would take more than conventional research to understand kids like Matt. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
We'll continue this story tonight on All Things Considered. Mostly sunny skies with a high of 88 ahead of us. It's 75 degrees now in Dallas, 74 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.